So first off, we're going to be talking about Ace, so we'll start it properly now. So Ace is obviously was my first companion. Was Ace your first companion as well?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's a good starting point anyway. in terms of, obviously, before Ace, we obviously had Mel, who doesn't divide fan reaction. People just don't like her generally.
I've not seen an episode of her, and I've only seen the 7th Doctor episode with Ace in her so far. So.
That's good, because Big Finish, she redeems herself marginally, but not much, you know. But yeah, Ace was brilliant. Obviously, Ace came into the 7th Doctor's era in Dragonfire.
Yeah.
And I like Dragonfire, to be honest with you. I know it's only a 3-part, and it's all studio-bound.
Yeah.
But there's something about it, some nice kind of, when the guy's face melts. I like that.
You got to always love a face melting.
Indeed, you know. So it's quite harsh for Doctor Who to have someone's face melting. But it was good.
When people kind of, there's two complaints you get about Doctor Who now, isn't there? Some people say it's too kind of adult, and it's too horrible. And other people say it's too much like CBeebies. So I'm like, well, surely that means it's right bang in the middle where it should be.
Yeah, you can't win. No, you know, if you see him off at the end of the day, you know, people are going to whinge about things constantly, you know. People said the first episode was too frantic and too much of an amalgamation of his other stuff. And I thought, well, yeah, it's kind of true, but it's the same writer. He's going to have certain motifs and all that sort of thing. So it's like,
Then they'll complain the Ice Warrior one was too slow or something after that, won't they?
Oh, well, yeah, people were kind of like, well, it was a bit, you know, it was a bit more like a classic episode, but I enjoyed it. But I think, well, you know, you kind of win, can you really? You know,
no.
Talking about can't win, the 7th Doctor year was definitely a time that kind of, a lot of people I've heard of who are a little bit older than us basically said that they'd already dropped out of Doctor Who by this point. They'd already kind of given up on it. And I think that it's the start of the era where it starts to suddenly get better. You know, Ace is part of that.
I think so. I'm really baffled when I hear that people didn't like the 7th Doctor. But I think it was just maybe, I don't want to be harsh on Colin Baker. I've seen some of his stories I quite like. Like Vengeance on Varys I really like.
Hmm.
But some of the other ones. I think it was just the outfit which hindered Colin Baker the most, wasn't it?
Yeah, the outfit. I think there's just lots of turbulence behind the scenes, you know, 45 minute format and stuff, and then the hiatus.
Yeah,
it just got messed about, and it was just, you know, But I can understand why people were, when you watch the first season of Sylvester McCoy, there's a lot of ropey, campy episodes that really just don't click, you know, and there's certain, I think some of it's a little bit rushed and stuff, they didn't quite know the tone. But when you get to say Dragonfly onwards, it's clicking, you know, and I think Ace is part of that, you know, she's quite a refreshing companion, isn't she?
Yeah, definitely. And maybe it took the 7th Doctor a bit to kind of just find his feet, and Ace was the thing that maybe did that for him.
Well, she's obviously a very late 80s sort of girl at the end of the day, I mean, the way she dresses and everything.
Yeah,
she's quite. Dare I say it now without sounding a little bit like Lily Allen, she's quite street, you know. but I think that the character is quite feisty and stuff like that, and I think the show needed kind of someone with a baseball bat smashing a Dalek in, you know.
That's the bit I was just going to say, that's the bit when she's truly kind of arrived, isn't it, as a companion when she hits a Dalek with a baseball bat. Does she knock him down the stairs with it, or am I remembering that wrong?
No, there's a bit where it's actually in the classroom, and it's in the it's being kind of souped up the base robot to have these powers, and it smashes it up them in there. And then I'm not sure if there's, I think she might knock someone else down the stairs, but not necessarily a daughter, because obviously the daughters keep up the stairs in that episode, obviously.
Yeah, and everyone says watching them, like the BBC America documentaries they did around the kind of David Tennant era. I think they were on Love Film Stream, so I was watching them.
Yeah,
and it was saying how the Dalek episode was the first one where the Daleks fly upstairs. Like, no, it isn't.
It's a popular misconception, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
It's quite annoying, to be honest with you. And have you seen or recently have you seen Happiness Patrol?
Not recently, no.
Oh God.
the ones I've seen recently are Remembrance of the Daleks and Ghostlight and The Curse of Fenric as well.
Ah, right. Well, I'll try and go a bit more chronological in this sense, because once I start talking about Curse of Fenric, I love Curse of Fenric, so...
Remembrance and Curse of Fenric are two of my favourites.
Oh, yeah, they're brilliant, both of them, in different ways, I think, but I think that...
Yeah.
I think Rose took a lot from the character of Ace, you know, in terms of...
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And I think that's, you know, Perivale and all that. There's lots of obvious comparisons that Russell T. Davies obviously used.
Yeah.
I mean, Silver Nemesis is another one which is slightly campy and slightly silly at times. It was the anniversary episode, obviously.
But, yeah.
You know, I still kind of enjoy it for its value, and I think Ace gets to kind of fire bits of gold at Daleks at fire at Cybermen. So that's always fun, isn't it? You know.
All the kind of classic Doctors, when you bring the Daleks or the Cybermen in, I always find it really exciting there. When nowadays, like with Closing Time last year, I was kind of like, I wasn't really fussed it was a Cyberman episode. Where if you, it's like Silver Nemesis, I'm like, oh, it's a Cyberman one, brilliant.
I think that's maybe what Neil Gaiman's trying to do with this one that's coming.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
A bit more like an event TV rather than kind of like tagged on at the end and then defeated with love.
The Cybermen is, you know, what one of the big two with the Daleks, aren't they? And I don't like seeing them being kind of used.
It was a good episode as well, Closing Time, but the Cybermen weren't really important.
No.
It was a bit crap. But The Greatest Show in the Galaxy is another one. I think as you're getting on through the season as well, you're starting to see the darker Doctor who actually knows what's happening, but also he's very manipulative with Ace as well. He's putting her in situations that she knows are difficult for her and stuff like that. And I think she goes through a lot in a short space of time, doesn't she?
Yeah, it's quite an odd one for the Doctor to do. I know a couple of my friends who like don't really like it because they think, oh, the Doctor knows too much about what situations they're getting in, and it's a bit strange. But then there's the other side. You can see that he's kind of like I guess Eccleston's Doctor does with Rose, is like teaching her about the universe, I guess, and the kind of world that's out there that she doesn't know of and everything.
Yeah, he is kind of like the tutor, you know, telling about stuff. But he also kind of I think it's a really interesting character dynamic having the Doctor knowing things, and I think the Doctor knows things in the latest run, the Matt Smith run, I think quite a lot.
But
he still doesn't know who Clara is, so there's still that mystery there, I suppose. So he's not completely in control.
Going back to the tutor thing, would that be the reason that Ace refers to him as the professor all the time?
Oh, he's done well. I never thought of that. that works well. Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. Because
I initially found that quite annoying when she kept calling him professor. I'm like,
Where
did that come from? Where's that part of it? I've never really figured it out, but maybe that could be the explanation.
Yeah, there's no real kind of point where she says it and you think, so that's when it started. It just kind of happened.
Yeah.
But the next one, start of season 26, was Battlefield. And I really like Battlefield. It's crazy Doctor Who doing historical in the modern with future weapons. And Ace is, again, kind of tested in this as well, and she's kind of... There's lots of kind of, the Doctor's kind of not always there to help her.
Yeah, you know?
And obviously I think we also should mention as well the outtake of when Sophie Aldred's stuck in that kind of glass thing with all the water. That was pretty scary.
I've not seen that outtake.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. basically, because there's a bit where they're under the lake, and she's kind of stuck in this glass compartment, and actually in the actual outtake, she actually got stuck, and she nearly drowned in the.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it was really dramatic.
I've only got quite a lot of these on VHS, so that kind of adds to the charm of them sometimes as well, though, doesn't it?
Yes, I think so, yeah. I used to like having them on VHS. It's always good. Unrelated point, but where do you stand on when you've got effects added now? Do you like that? Or like kind of like the CGI effects, do you think that's good? Or?
Sometimes it works. If I don't notice it, it works, but sometimes it's kind of glaringly obvious, isn't it? That it just doesn't fit.
I think Curse of Fenric's all right, I think, because you've got like the writing on the wall and stuff.
Yeah.
These kind of things like that. That's okay. And Enlightenment's pretty cool when you've got like a nice sailing boat and stuff, the spaceship. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know what you mean. It can look a bit like, this is a CGI effect now. It's like, oh.
I remember I had a copy of Witchfinder General, which they've added some scenes into. But the scenes they've added in were such bad quality, you could tell when they've added them in.
Oh,
so,
that's not good. the next one I was going to mention was the aforementioned Ghostlight, which you mentioned before, and I still don't really understand it. Do you still understand it?
Not really. It seems like a Peter Davison one to me. I didn't understand quite some of the Davison ones. I was like, what's this trying to say? Or where's it going?
I know what you mean. I can see that. It's enjoyable. But I mean, someone once explained it was what it all meant. And I still wasn't really the wiser. And again, this is, you know, taking Ace back to Perivale, to a house that scared her when she was younger. So
that's another thing the kind of new series did with Rose, isn't it? Take her back to the power state quite a lot. So that you see, yeah, I think like Rusty Davis' series does pick up, I think, where McCoy's Doctor's kind of era was going a little bit, doesn't it?
I think the especially the whole like Cartmel thing, and obviously it wasn't an actual master plan, but it was quite dark, and I think, you know, he took Rose to try and sort her dad's when he died and stuff like that. That's quite light and fluffy in comparison to the Ghostlight, which is quite dark and weird. You know, imagine like, you know, if everyone's walked past the house and thought, oh, it's a little bit weird, that house or something, you know. But to actually see the weird shit that was going on there, and it must be quite weird. Like, obviously that was in the Victorian era when this was happening, but so it's a bit of an oddity, but there's quite a weird, chilling, dark side to the McCoy era, which I do like.
But then I think there's a little bit of like Matt Smith's kind of playfulness with McCoy as well, isn't there? He's kind of dark, but he chucks in kind of playfulness as well. Like Troughton, I guess, as well.
Again, I think it's that sort of tutor thing where he's teaching her along and he's kind of like helping her, and but also he's having a little bit of fun with her. I think that the difference is, it's going to sound really nasty to say this because it's a bit sick, but you know what, there's people always say that the Doctor's obviously having it away with the companion quite a lot, right? I never thought that with McCoy and Aldred. You know, there's very much like an uncle sort of vibe to him, you know?
Definitely.
And there's never any of that shenanigans going on. And I think that was interesting, and that actually leads nicely to a classic, in my opinion, and yours as well, Curse of Fenric. And the weird kind of Ace seduction scene when she starts babbling and trying to seduce that.
Oh, God, yeah, I've forgotten about that.
Was he Russian or? Russian, sorry. So she was trying to seduce this soldier, and she did that weird kind of, am I travelling, and all this weird stuff. No one quite knew what the hell was going on. But I think, obviously, she obviously met her mom in this as well. She obviously met her mom. And that's weird enough anyway, you know. You almost feel like he's manipulating everything just so he can show her things and like, kind of, this is what, where you've come from, this blah, blah. And it's very weird, manipulative Seventh Doctor, isn't it?
Yeah, and the thing I love with Fenric, it feels like a like a Hammer horror film for kind of kids. It's got that kind of gothic
yes.
feeling about it.
And, yeah. and it's very obvious in his pastiches as well, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like some things try and kind of hide the fact that they're clearly ripping off certain zombie films and whatnot.
Yeah.
you know, and it's so obvious what they, you know, I mean, you know, if someone said, do you realise it's ripping off The Fog? We'd be like, duh, come on, you know. but that's why it's good, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely, yeah.
It's, and I think it's for horror fans who, you know, who can see that other level of things. Mm-hmm. Do you think Ace is one of the better companions? Do you think she still stands the test of time now?
I guess if, like, viewers who've just seen the kind of news stories will look back and maybe think it's a bit broad and dated.
Yeah.
But I think that the character's got so much in common with the kind of same makeup that Rose had about her, the fact that we saw a kind of backstory. I think it's one of the first times we get a kind of big backstory that we keep going back to, I think, isn't it, with a companion?
Yeah, yeah, and it's still a bit of a mystery about that. You know, you're seeing little bits and pieces, but yeah. fundamentally it's just still quite, you know, you don't really know a name for a lot of the time. You know, it's like Dorothy is only mentioned briefly, but it's Ace and that's it, you know. That's all she wants people to call her and that's it, you know. But I had an important point I was going to say, and it's gone now. Never mind. with the final episode ever, obviously, of the classic run was Survival. And again, we're going back to modern day and it's Perivale where she's obviously from.
Yeah.
So she's seen all the people that she used to see and stuff like that. So it's almost like this is for her benefit. It's like again, you're right with the Rose comparisons. You know, he's doing it for her sort of thing, so she can see stuff. And again, I suppose she kind of goes the bad way in Survival, and then kind of comes out the other end. I suppose.
Yeah. And there's cat people in Survival as well, like in New Earth and.
Well, the cat people were a little bit ropey on Survival. I mean, you know, even if you were like, it was pitch black and there was loads of really horrible sound effects, you really wouldn't be scared of them coming at you.
You know?
It would say, I don't know, I mean, I've read up about it and they obviously weren't too happy with the final costumes because they did look a bit silly.
Yeah.
But there's some nice elements to Survival. I love the colour of the sky and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. There's some brilliant bits in all of those stories. Even the kind of worst ones, I think, where maybe like Baker and, as you were saying, the early McCoys you haven't seen. Mm. Some of them you had bad episodes that you probably never go back to again.
Well, Happiness Patrol, I always get mixed up with Happiness Patrol and the earlier ones. But Happiness Patrol was, I'm pretty sure, it was Bertie Bassett.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's one to forget. You know, it's like.
I quite like it just because it is so silly. I guess it's the era's Love and Monsters, isn't it?
Oh, God, yeah. Jeez, don't mention that. You get people throwing pint glasses around if you start mentioning Love and Monsters. You know, people now have been saying about the Rings episode, the second episode of this series, saying it's a bit like Curse of Black Spot. And there's right. always that kind of other one to reference in it. In most seasons, where you go, oh, it was a bit like that one, you know.
Yeah.
But Love and Monsters, I think, is like, it beats them all hands down, I think. Really, even when Doctor Who was very dodgy, and it's like, what is this meant to be? Love a Monster still just goes, no, I'm the worst.
I remember like, being at my girlfriend's parents, and they don't watch Doctor Who. I was like, oh, you've got to watch it. It's like not they don't have like shaky walls and stuff now. It's brilliant. And putting it on, and after 10 minutes, just thinking, oh no, this wasn't the episode to introduce them with.
Oh, God, isn't that worse than that when you tell someone to watch something and then they get the bad episode?
Yeah.
You know, and you're the one who's like, well, I'm never trusting you again.
the good thing about Survival, I've got that one on DVD, and I went to, like, one of the big kind of convention things, and Sophie Aldred was there.
Hmm.
So I went to get her to sign it, and I kind of just turned into a, like, 12-year-old again or something. It's like shaking, passing the DVD, going, you were my first companion.
To be honest with you, I'm going to make you feel better because I went. This is what it wasn't me looking like a dick. It was the guy behind us. I met Sophie Aldred a couple of years ago, And all I did was hand her the DVD slipcase, Remembrance of the Daleks, signed it, got a picture with her. The guy behind was the one who, she'll remember this idiot, right? He went, do you still support Charlton? And she was just like, yeah. And he was just like talking to her a bit like the character, and I was a bit like, oh God.
Oh no.
Yeah, it was a bit weird. I think he knew a bit too much about her.
Yeah, it was like, call me professor.
Yeah, it was a bit like, he was one of those sort of people where no one's in costume and he's in costume. You know, and it's like, it's little children like are in like, got vague sort of costumes on and stuff, dressed as David Tennant, and then you've just got one adult who was dressed up as a doctor. And I can't remember which doctor he was off the top of my head, but I think he might be dressed as Tom Baker with a scarf and all that.
Right.
And the thing was, it was in a leisure centre in a town centre. So I imagine he just got off like the local bus and just kind of dressed like that and just went in. You know, he didn't care. So you know, there's always someone. You know, you might be a little bit nervous and a bit shy, but then there's always going to be some idiot dressed up as Tom Baker.
Probably.
Yeah, it was getting a little bit too biographical about someone's screen past or whatever. And obviously, we're not going to mention Dimensions in Time because that's not canon. So
right.
It's a shame she never came back for the TV movie.
Yeah, there wasn't there talk of her coming back for Sarah Jane Adventures?
Was there? Oh, that'd be interesting.
But obviously it never kind of panned out, I think, because it was going to be in the episodes, like the next series, I think.
Right. No, that would have been quite cool, but I mean, I wonder what she would have been doing now. You know?
Yeah.
Obviously, they took her in a very different kind of direction with the New Adventures. Did you ever read any of the New Adventures?
I've read one or two, so I don't really know where the where they took her, but...
Well, the ones I used to read, I didn't read that many, but she was very kind of like, as you use the American vernacular, a kick-ass sort of woman, you know. She's kind of like, right. she was kind of kicking off every way, and she seemed quite angry and quite kind of pissed off all the time. I suppose she did have an element of that before.
Yeah, but that kind of just felt like the front, didn't it? That was covering.
Yeah, it's covering our vulnerability. But yeah. I don't think in the New Adventures she ever uttered some of the phrases that she used in the TV series. You know, the silly sort of phrases. You know,
yeah.
I can't remember any off the top of my head. But you know, like it was phrases like "buzz off" and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like...
I was brought up on phrases like that on BBC there.
but yeah, so they took in a very different sort of direction then, and obviously I've listened to the Big Finish ones, which were the season 27, the ones that never got made.
Yeah.
And I thought the portrayal was interesting, but obviously they were going to have a new companion coming soon.
Yeah.
At that time anyway, so... I think it's probably best just to remember as the TV companion, you know.
I know in Sarah Jane as well, there was a big kind of monologue once about some of the past companions.
Hmm.
But I can't remember what they said Ace was doing in there. I should have maybe tried to check that out before.
Oh, it'll be on Google somewhere. I'm guaranteeing that. But no, I think it's always sad, especially when you saw like Sarah Jane come back and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like, what are they actually doing? You know, and it's like. It's kind of tragic, isn't it, really?
Yeah, especially because you never really got the end of the story with the Seventh Doctor and Ace, did you? If you just watch the TV stuff anyway, I don't know if you're doing with Big Finish or whatever, but you never really get where they went and how they kind of parted or anything like that.
No, because obviously in the TV movie, he was just by himself and that was it.
Yeah.
And he mysteriously had a new TARDIS as well. So in conclusion, how would you rate Ace in comparison to other companions then?
Oh, the first one's always the best, isn't it?
Because, I mean, you know, a lot of people slag off McCoy, but I think I'll always defend him, same as Ace, you know. I think as you get older, you have kind of more classic sort of series companions who you like, you know. I'm sure there's some people out there who love Rose because Rose was their first and whatnot, you know. Or what was that really bad companion in the middle of the Eccleston run who had
Adam.
Yeah, some people were misfortunate for having Adam for two episodes. The Adric of the Eccleston era.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think she still stands the test of time, and I think I don't know if I would want to see her again, to be honest with you, if they did bring old companions back. See, in the anniversary special.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like you wouldn't want to see it walking around in a bomber jacket.
No, maybe not.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. But yeah, I think she's almost like a template, really, for the modern series, isn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a character, she's of a time, but I think some of the things they were introducing with her character, I think, have seen the kind of... seen how good they can work out properly with the new series.
Yeah, and I think it should be commended. I think it's not just if it's your first companion. I think a lot of people have got a lot of time for Ace, you know.
Yeah,
I'm not dissing Bonnie Langford massively, but you know she's never going to be in that sort of caliber of good companions, you know.
I'm sure she'll be someone's favourite. He'll ask her what football team she supports at a convention and
probably. But I think the thing is with the character of Mel, it's not like Perry where you can look past their personality and see other things.
Yeah,
you know, Mel's just a bit, you know, and I think the story's given. I mean, the Rani is just one of the worst. Oh, I mean, people keep rumouring that the Rani's going to come back. I really don't want that, you know. That'd be very bad. But yeah, do you want to do a quick plug for your website and whatnot?
It's www.twistedshowcase.com. Twisted anthology stories on the web. I think I said in one of the podcasts that we did before that we'd love to get Sophie Aldred involved in one episode. And I haven't written that episode yet that I thought... that's the one.
Well, you know, she might get in contact and say, well, I've already got something in my head ready for it. So you never know.
We've got a female murderer in the next one. I don't know if she'd...
She might play against type, and that's good. You know,
yeah.
She might want to break out the bomber jacket, so, you know. And what's your Twitter handle as well?
It's at Robin Bell Writer or at Twisted Showcase, if whichever you want to follow those. I'm about writing my own kind of whatever thoughts, tweets, whatever goes on there. And Twisted Showcase is just the stuff of the series, really, if you want to keep in touch with that.
Mundus podcast.